This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko. WMVP Chicago. It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Pete Thamel from Yahoo talking college football and how unlikely it seems that they're going to be able to pull out that season. Thanks to Pat Boyle for talking Hawks with us. And big thanks to Jeff Mellon for sitting in today, double duty, as he'll be producing with Waddle and Sylvie coming up here. Thank you to Chris Fleck and Randy Merkin and an assist from Tyler Aki. Today, Crosstalk is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Driving, biking, or walking responsibly near roadways really is a matter of life or death. To learn more or to share the story of lost love, visit lifeordeathillinois.com.
You know what I say, Carm?
What?
Seriously. If you don't want your ass run over, don't plant yourself in front of the plate.
Oh, here we go.
Stop it, Tommy. It was an all-star game.
Why are you blocking a plate in an all-star game?
Ruined a career. Real nice,
I know. I have sympathy. Why are you blocking a plate in an all-star game?
I think if you look at the character of one Pete Rose throughout the history of his life, you'll know where you're on the right side. Yes, as Waddle's clearly pointing out.
I love that. It's like cap on the Bears. It doesn't matter the position, right or wrong.
Doesn't matter.
It's got Rose on the back, so Waddle's going.
Why are you blocking a play?
Never gambled a little bit on their team, huh? What's the big deal?
Gamble a little bit on their team only to win, Carm.
Do you know what, Carm?
You know what, Carm? He was ahead of his time. Now everyone's gambling. I got a gambling site over here. I got a site online over here. I got one over there. Pete was just ahead of his time.
We're all degenerates. That's true.
He really should have his own site. There's no reason he's not.
Nobody's going to go on Pete Rose's gambling site.
Name value alone.
He'd pick somebody's site, you know?
Would he be a good endorser, or is he just too politically incorrect?
Are you kidding me? Pete Rose, he's signing baseballs in Vegas for how many years? He can't make more money.
Mellor, do you want him representing you knowing now? Not just the gambling, Mellor.
No. That's
And do you want him saying, hey, I'm Pete Rose. Come to this site.
It would be funny. Hey, guys, it's me, Pete Rose. Remember when I was picking my team in the 80s? We did pretty well. Now you can come pick here. I don't know.
I know what you're saying, Sylvie, but I think just his name, like if it's a game, if it's the right gambling site.
I don't think you would have 18 years or older to gamble on the little rules with the Pete Rose site.
Yeah, I think that's.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I think.
You know?
I know what you're
Gambling's
saying.
Gambling's open to all.
I think if you're looking for a pitch man, Pete Rose to pitch quickly.
No, I was looking at the video and once again, you know what? Pete probably should have slid, but why are you blocking a plate in an all-star game?
Well, I don't think he expected the guy to go running through him and end his career.
I don't stand in the middle of the road and not think I'm going to get hit by a car.
Well, that's a little different.
No, it's not. Same exact thing.
Yeah, the car should swerve. That's true.
Listen,
can I take you back to 1989? I mean, what were the coaches yelling at you when you kept diving for passes on the field?
Stop diving for passes in practice.
Yeah, but why were you diving for practice?
It's the only way I knew how to play, bro.
Yeah, there you go. The catcher's instinct took over.
Yeah. Pete didn't have to truck him.
That's the only way Pete knew how to play.
Ichiro will always be the all-time hit king to me.
Just saying to you.
Yeah, but your feelings don't matter, Mellor,
so it doesn't matter.
I know. Telling me to do the Crosstalk sponsor, which I already did. Pay attention, Randy.
Yeah. You know what happened, Merck? Merck just got trucked by Carm right there.
Randy's walking around like he is Ray Fozzie. Poor Randy's got a problem with like either his IT band or they think maybe the poor guy can't walk. He's got one leg that he's dragging along. I told him I'm going to punch him in the other leg to kind of balance it out.
What happened?
IT band issue. He's got maybe an IT band issue.
It's been a 5-week issue, and last week it just escalated to a new pain level.
Tommy, I'm going to take a video of him walking. He looks like he looks like an 85-year-old man walking down the hall.
You got to roll that out on the foam roller, Mark.
Sylvie, I'm a little nervous to do that until I go for my next physical therapy, which is this Friday.
How did you do it? You tripped out of a candy store?
I have no idea.
Do you think it's all the nonpareils you've been eating?
Listen, that's not good for your, you know, all of your ligaments,
joints,
and connective
and,
tissue.
It was a 185-yard drive at Sportsman's.
His leg hurts.
Is closed.
His leg hurts.
Sylvie, I think you nailed it. I think this is probably an indirect golf injury.
You know, I played many moons ago with someone who was a surgeon and told me, this is years, 10 years ago, and told me, boy, your swing, he goes, you're going to have some serious issues if you don't correct that swing.
Really?
Yeah, and I kind of laughed, and he goes, you're going to have some back issues.
Barely swing.
Yeah, but since then I've changed it.
It's like you're swinging a pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, are you telling me what, you used to have Tiger swing all of a sudden?
I used to swing pretty hard. Now I don't. I don't hit the ball very far. And
Bryson Merkin over there.
I've got the game of a 75-year-old man. Don't you think so, Carm?
Yes, me too.
His leg hurts so bad, he can't shave anymore.
Really?
Yeah, he can. He's unshaven.
And I haven't shaven since Sunday.
Which leg is it?
His left leg.
Left leg, yeah.
Poor guy says
he can't walk?
He can't walk. Tommy, I will take a video. It's unbelievable.
So is it the hip? The IT band goes over the hip bone, right?
So originally they thought it was the IT band. Then over the weekend it was so bad I couldn't like walk upstairs. It hurt so much. And so now they're adding could be bursitis. And now I had an MRI yesterday because they think it could be something.
You had an MRI?
Think be something with my back. So yeah, it's
what did the MRI say?
I haven't heard the results yet.
He's waiting on the results.
Yeah. Boy, was it an open one or a closed one?
It was mostly closed. It was.
You're a braver man than I.
Sides were open. Like you could see.
Well, that's open.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. And my tech was awesome. Like every 5 minutes, she would say, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Good." And
get me out of here!
She asked, you know, what kind of music do you want to listen to? And I said, can I listen to sports radio? And she said, classic. I've never been asked that before. And
classic
I said,
hey, do you have a one-on-one sports here anywhere? Can you get a one-on-one sports?
Can you put Waddle and Sylvia on?
And I said, well, do you have she goes, we only go through Pandora. I said, well, do you have like XM Sirius? You know, maybe you can get one of those stations. She goes, I don't even know. And I said, don't worry about it. Just give me classic rock.
She's like, what a pain in the ass this guy is.
can you pull out some of the Papa Joe tapes?
Oh, that would have been great, Sylvie.
So I got a story for you guys today. You ready?
All right.
So I come home from a doctor's appointment today, and I'm picking some things up in the garage and go in the backyard, and I see a dead squirrel.
Oh.
So I go in the backyard, and I see there's a dead squirrel. So I take my shovel, and I go over there, and I pick up the dead squirrel, and I hurl it over the
fence.
I come inside, and the first thing I see on the television, dead squirrel in Colorado diagnosed with bubonic plague.
What?
Yes.
You haven't read that, Carm?
That's no.
Making the rounds.
Carm, I'm hurling a dead squirrel with flies all over it over my fence. I come inside, and I swear to you, the first thing I see is a story about a squirrel in Colorado that was tested positive for the bubonic
plague.
Can they
give it to us?
Yes.
Jesus, what is going on?
Waddle's
going
to be in quarantine forever.
I mean, really?
Well, now I got to worry about the bubonic plague as well.
It's got to bite you, right?
No, what ends up happening is like some people get it from skinning animals. You touch the tissue or the blood, and other times you get it from fleas that have been, you know, feasting on the animal.
I'm looking for a different planet to get on at this point. I mean, what in the hell is going on?
How about Uranus? You want to take
a
fast shot?
It's all gas, and it's awfully cold, and I don't think we got a shot, but let's find a rocky planet, Waddle. I mean, come on. Mars is just a puddle jump.
At this point, you know how I feel about space. It scares the hell out of me.
Let's go.
At this point, I'm in.
I mean, not doing a great job right now.
This ain't trending in a good direction. 2020's got to end, for crying out loud.
Can we set up a sports bubble on Mars?
Sure, why not? It's probably easier than they can here, Sylvie. You got a lot of land.
Are we going to be able to connect to Pete Rose's gambling site?
Of course.
Okay.
They communicate with the rover up there, right? They got the technology for it. We got to get out of here.
Red Rover, send Merkin over.
Right. We got squirrels with the plague and bats giving us coronavirus. It's like enough already. We got to get the hell out of here. This is
what do you think the odds are that I caught the bubonic plague from the squirrel today? There were 7 cases of bubonic plague in the entire world last year. Think I'm good?
Yeah, I think you're probably good. 7 out of 7 billion is a pretty infinitesimal number.
How close did you get? Did you, like, get close to it?
Well, I used the shovel. Well, yeah, it wasn't like one of those little hand shovels. It was a shovel.
Is the squirrel dead because of the plague or somebody because it had got attacked by a coyote?
That's a good point, Carm.
I don't know. You know what? I've read like, you know me. I came in immediately in a hot, you know, in a cold sweat and started Googling everything.
Oh, my God.
They can fall out of trees and die.
Well, sure. That's very true.
That's probably what happened. It wasn't out there last night because I was in the yard last night.
Yeah, maybe it just fell out of a tree, or maybe like it got attacked by a hawk and it got injured. But the hawk wouldn't leave it, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The hawk would eat it. Yeah, yesterday morning, my dog, I let her out in the morning, and she came. She greeted me with a dead bird in her mouth. So that's always.
You got bird flu.
Yeah,
possibly.
Like I got to do bubonic plague. Like, look, I got rid of it because I didn't want my dog out there doing.
I didn't realize it was out there in the yard, and then sure enough, first like dogs at the door. Pounding to come in, and it's got a bird in its mouth.
Never ends, boys.
It doesn't. Send me a video of Merkin, will you?
Oh, yeah. I'll say, Merk, don't leave yet. He's usually tailing.
And by the way,
we'll run him down. Don't worry. Yeah, he's not getting anywhere fast.
Yeah. Merk with the beard growth, that's like dog years, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When Merk hasn't shaved since a weekend, that's times that by 7 for the normal person.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's like 40 days without shaving for the normal person.
That's very
true. Merk to your back guy. Maybe he needs to be realigned.
Dr. Josh. Well, the thing about Dr. Josh that he has taught me is that if you, like, what is it, his IT band that he was saying?
Yes.
And it's his right or left?
It's his left.
Like, the thing that he's always big on is if you have an injury on your left side, it's probably the way you've compensated on your right side.
That's a good point.
That's where the source is. Just because the injury, you don't treat the injury, you treat the source. Mm. That's what he has taught me. And that's what too many doctors don't do. They look at the injury and they treat the injury, but they don't treat what the true cause of it is. Now, I'm no doctor, but I have confidence in my guy because of all that.
You might have to see Dr. Josh if it doesn't get any better. This was a fun crosstalk. We didn't get to some of the harder hitting stuff that we wanted to talk to you guys about, but that's okay. How about some baseball players maybe sticking it to the man, you know, turning it back on the owners?
So what are they going to do? They're going to get
their service time and say, see ya. You know, like the Springers, the Bryants. We discussed that.
How much time do you have to play?
Springer needs 2 games. Bryant's probably something close to that. Because
they reverse it, and they want to send me down for 12 days?
Exactly.
I'm going to play my minimum and leave. Do you know, though, that if things are safe to play, the criticism that those guys would get?
Well, that's what we discussed.
With the fans.
Although, I polled it today, and believe it or not, the fans were not as against the players as I thought they would be.
There was only 20%.
It was like 20% saying they'd be mad as hell. The rest were sort of understanding of the situation. Believe it or not.
I don't think they'll do that, Carm. Will they? Because, like, didn't the owners consent to some sort of service time?
Well, they agreed
issue?
To give it to well, him no, for 2020.
And, see, so right. they remember, they agreed to give him service time if a season was never played.
Right, right.
But now that they're going to, now they're going to get service time as long as they're out there playing. But since Michael Kopech has opted out, he's not going to get any service time.
Right.
Guys like Chris Bryant and George Springer, Mookie Betts. They do have to play in this season if they want to accrue the service time.
It doesn't matter for Lindor. Oh, yeah, sure it matters for
Lindor. Yeah, Lindor is one of those guys.
I think it does. It's 3, because of the truncated season, guys, it's 3 games per game. That's why George Springer needs 6 days, which equates this year, because they round up. Joel Sherman wrote about it over the weekend, and that's why we were discussing it. They'll round up to 3, so he needs George Springer could play the 23rd and the 24th, and accrue his 6 days and say, see ya.
I would say this to you. With the free agency market a little bit uncertain right now, is that the route you want? I mean, for Chris Bryant, 30% of $20 million is still $7
million. We agree with you guys. Like, we'd have to applaud them for sticking it back to them. But the thing Jeff and I came back to, too, is, like, it'd be hard, I think, for a lot of these guys to go into their clubhouses and say, this is my plan. I'll see you guys.
To
your teammates. That's what I mean. To go into your clubhouse and say it's your teammates.
Right. Especially, like, say everyone's healthy. Now, look, if they start traveling and then you get a positive here, then a positive there, and then Chris Bryant says, look, not only have I gotten my service time, but I feel unsafe. I've got a newborn at home. And this is, I'm not sure about all this. People, I think, would be more willing to understand. But if you're playing and you're competing and things are going okay.
Yeah.
That's
you know what I say?
I think you're right about that, Sylvia.
You know what I say in that situation, 2020, my motto, next man up. If that's the way you want to go, you know what? You have every right to do it. If that's the way you want to play it, somebody else will get an opportunity to play, and we'll roll with him.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
What's up on the show today, boys?
I want to start because everyone was raving about the Sox inter-squad game. And Luis Robert is the real deal. I mean, do you have him can't miss yet, Carm?
No, I would never say that because he hasn't played a game in the big leagues. I mean, I think that's a dangerous, you know, road to start traveling.
But that's what people
down.
Do about prospects. You say, this guy's a can't miss prospect. The essence of saying that is knowing that he hasn't played a game.
But I've seen guys play in games. I thought Kip Wells was a can't miss prospect. I watched him dominate. Yeah. I watched him dominate
Kevin Ory,
a completely loaded Texas Rangers lineup in circa 2000. I was in the stadium, and I, as a fan, not covering it, thinking, "Ooh, Kip Wells is going to be a filthy stud." So, and he was pitching half a season in the bigs at that point.
You remember Gordon Beckham?
That's another good one. Sylvie Gordon Beckham. Yeah,
Beckham actually was productive for the first 2 months of his career, and was never ever
Corey
that
Patterson.
Again.
So, how can I say can't miss
Andy Marte? Remember him?
Oh yeah,
best player, best prospect in baseball.
It's crazy.
Couldn't hit.
Wasn't Corey Patterson a guy that was a can't miss?
He finally started live up to it, and then he got hurt.
It was the knee injury that kind of derailed him. But he had didn't he make an all-star team?
Or well, just as he was living up to like the hype, season, he got hurt.
He was playing well,
So anyway, everyone's raving about Robert today, and people are watching this intra-squad scrimmage. Tonight, I want to watch the Cubs. I can't.
And you can't.
I'm a little more on edge about this because of the landscape of, and I want to paint. I'm getting worried now. I'm starting to get into worry territory.
All right. I'm enticed because Sylvie, I made this proclamation on Saturday when I was on with Fred. I said I'm curious as we get closer and closer to the season because I know you have Comcast. When Sylvie and Danny Zetterman,
me too,
but you're not a Cubs fan.
I'm not a Cubs fan, but
you have to watch obviously. But Cubs fans right now, as the season gets closer and closer, it's like, okay, let's stop messing around here and let's get a deal done.
Let me paint you a picture when we start, okay, this and if the Cubs can do anything about it.
All right, boys. Meller, thanks. Appreciate it. It's always fun, buddy.
My pleasure.
Jeff's sticking around. Tyler's in, too, with the guys today. Waddle and Sylvie are coming up next, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We're getting really close. Cubs and Sox and things have gone well in Major League Baseball. We've talked a lot about it. And if we were an arm's length away in a regular spring training from opening day, I don't think I would be as, and I wouldn't call myself panicky. I'm just now starting to worry a bit about Marquee and if I'm going to be able to watch my favorite team, because I'm a happy Comcast viewer. You have Comcast as well, Waddle.
I do. I'm a satisfied Comcast customer at this point. I just think, all things considered, wow, after a series of bad looks, and this isn't Major League Baseball, you know, in general specific, but this would not be a good look for the Cubs.
And that's what I'm saying. If we're in a regular spring training and all was right with the world and there was no pandemic, you know, and they didn't have a lot of the issues the Cubs have had, I'd be like, okay, look, the deadline always helps an agreement. The closer we get, that's usually when the agreements are signed.
Now, again, by the same token, I'm not suggesting they sign a crappy deal that is universally panned, you know, against them. But I think that there should be a way to find a reasonable whatever solution to this.
Well, and that's my point, that now we're in this different world and we're in the middle of a pandemic and we all just want sports back. A, we want everything to be healthy, and B, if they're going to try to have sports, we want them to succeed. I've been wandering the sports desert for a long time now, and I need to drink, and I may not be able to order any drink if they don't have, like, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine after all the negotiation between the players and the owners, after all of that, after all of the question marks about testing, about all the question marks, can this feasibly work when our numbers are going up with the test, that we get to the starting line And then all of a sudden, it's opening day, the Cubs and Brewers. It's an ESPN nationally broadcast game, but it's blacked out locally, meaning that the only place we have to get it is Marquee.
Yeah.
And if I, and I'm a, again, I'm a satisfied Marquee subscriber, and I believe in the product that, the Cubs and Marquee are using, because I believe that the Cubs should benefit from their product. And I believe in 5 years from now, everyone will be happy with a Cubs-only station. You go there for Cubs baseball, they're able to make more money off of their own product, meaning more money in the revenue tank, meaning more players going forward when times are good. It all makes sense to me.
No, you're right. By then, Baez and Brian will be playing on other teams. Yeah. But overall, I agree with everything you're saying.
I'm a wounded animal here. I'm like that squirrel with the plague that you shoveled today, okay? I'm trying to breathe here for sports. And now I'm worried. So I'm like, okay, I haven't believed that this baseball thing is going to work. They can't even get the tests right. They don't even know. Okay, now everything's going pretty good. Now Luis Robert's stealing bases. He's hitting home runs while he's falling down. The Sox are looking good. They've got this team. No, there's not going to be Kopech, but they still have this really good team. And the Cubs, you know, here we go. The Cubs are getting to the starting line. Theo thought that they would have the Marquee thing in place. And we're getting down to single-digit days for opening day Cubs and Brewers. This is going to be great. And I'm going to look for the game. And are you going to do this to me?
You're going to have to call Abdallah for one of those cheater codes on one of the other things.
Yeah, the Reddit, right? Yeah. The people are saying, Sylvie, Reddit. Right. It's the way to go anyway. Yeah. You get it. You get the Reddit line. Or
no, I agree with everything you're saying. It just doesn't. It feels like we've been through enough. Maybe that's just us as pampered sports fans. But yeah. I feel like,
well,
you know what?
I'm
at the point now, like, okay, I'm about to tap out. You've got me in the rear chokehold or whatever it is. The naked, whatever it is, or the full Nelson. Whatever you got me in.
Is that what you were looking for?
Whatever it is. I'm about to tap right now. Please don't make me tap. Don't make me tap out of sports. Just make sure I can see Cubs baseball.
So
I get it.
Tyler Aki, who's in today for Abdallah, was telling us that I don't believe the Sox inter-squad scrimmage was on NBC Sports Chicago, but it was on their website, and it was on like some other different things online where you can watch these days. In 2020, you know, if you're a tech guy, you can watch anything these days, and then you could also get it on your TV if you've got the right equipment, project it on your TV so you're not just watching it on your phone if you want it on your big screen. Here's my question then. If there isn't an agreement with Marquee and Comcast, and we've got the Theo sound we played from Friday. Meller, if you could pull that up. Theo said that he would be shocked if the Cubs games aren't available on the device. Would they make it available some way, somehow, for us online?
That would be a nice temporary resolution.
Would that ruin their bargaining power with Comcast? Aren't they dependent on Cubs fans who are angry at Comcast for not coming to an agreement, calling Comcast and pressuring them to carry their TV? And if we're getting it free some way,
I don't think baseball rules will allow them to do so. Online.
Oh, really? It's a baseball rules thing?
So, because the MLB package, which people can buy, it's blacked out in the local markets.
Which is stupid. There's so many dumb blackout rules within MLB TV
so
to
I don't,
begin with.
In I don't states. Think even if they wanted to, they would be able to make it available online.
How about this? I will drive you guys, if you get to my house, we'll go up to, what is it, Naked Chubbies up in whatever's the name of the club, over the border in the Dells.
I'm not driving to the Dells for this. I mean, I want to see.
Don't you
want to
see Cubs?
You're telling me you got to drive 4 hours both ways, 3 hours both ways?
Is that how far the Dells is? I thought it was.
The Dells is a good amount. What is it?
3:15, 3.5.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll go to Racine then.
It's not like going to Milwaukee.
Let's go to Racine. We'll just go across the border because we're out of Illinois. Then they can't black it out, right? Will we get it?
No, that's the thing is they still can in certain
you
spots.
You sons of... You,
what? Like the Brewers
like
market.
Like Iowa.
Then.
Iowa, Indianapolis. I'm pretty sure it's still blacked out there.
Yes,
yeah,
even though
right.
those are because of the dumb Jeez. Rules. So the Cubs could go from being as popular as they are because of GN and the Superstation to in the middle of a pandemic, are you, you're telling me I may not get my game? My games, I know we still have days left, but like if they pull this off and if baseball is going to play and they're, I'm not going to get the game, that,
yeah, that, think that about would, that. Be, that would be irritating.
Think about how mad people would be. 312,
that's beyond irritating.
312-332-3776. I think it's an interesting talking point. There's some other broadcast things we want to get after too with this. But Lewis Riddick has to move from 3 to 230. So a couple of questions for Lewis Riddick, who's always can't miss radio. We're going to talk some football and Bears with him. Are the Bears going to regret not going after Cam Newton? And is all this national criticism of the Bears in many different ways fair? We'll chat with Lewis Riddick coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We'll get back to the marquee conversation with the Cubs coming up, and also some good stuff coming out from Shams about the complaints from the NBA bubble. I saw Lewis Riddick on Get Up today talking football. It's always good to see him. It's always good to talk to him. He's one of our favorite guests out there. And there is lots of Bears conversation to be had these days.
People hating on our team.
Yeah, a lot of hate. News in the NFL today with signings as well. Lewis Riddick joining us on the Corona Hotline on Waddle and Selvey. Hey, Lewis, how you feeling today?
I'm doing all right. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Very good.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I appreciate you checking in with me here a few weeks back. You've always been a great friend of the radio station, our show, and we appreciate your thoughts. Waddle alluded to it, Lewis. Wherever we open up a national article, not just on ESPN.com, but like Barnwell the other day, the Bears have the 28th ranked weaponry on offense. People projecting the Bears to go 4-12, 5-11. Is the national criticism fair of the Bears?
You know, it's all subjective, man. And I think, you know, a lot of the struggles, okay, that Mitch had a year ago in the offense overall, I think has kind of cast like this doom and gloom shadow over everything else that is good that's going on around there. And I don't think there's any denial inside of, you know, the Bears offices and inside their scouting department's offices and coaches' offices that last year was very disappointing. There's no denying that. But I think going forward, what usually happens a lot of times is that people are always kind of like their opinions are lagging. Not many people want to step out there and really put their you-know-whats on the line and make any kind of proclamations about how teams are going to look, especially on the upside of things. So it's usually one of those, well, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach, and in the meantime, I'm just going to be negative and say, well, based on what happened in the past, it's all going to be doom and gloom in the future. So not many people are giving the Bears a whole lot of credit for the things they tried to correct this offseason. Do they have Tyreek Hill? Do they have Mecole Hardman? Do they have, you know, guys like that on their roster? No. Do they have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and guys like that on their roster? No. But they do have some very, very good players. Let's not discount how good Allen Robinson is and continue and will still be going in, you know, going forward, because I do think that there's going to be a different player pulling the trigger at quarterback. Let's not forget that David Montgomery is going to be going into a second year. Let's not forget that Juan Castillo now is offensive line coach. There's going to be a marked difference in terms of the way that team comes off the ball, running the football. Make no mistake about it, Matt Nagy learned a lot last year as far as, you know, his natural growth and maturation process of being a head coach. And this defense, which has been the hallmark of this football team forever, this franchise forever, if you look at it, it's, you know, on all three levels, they've got some ballers, man. They are still going to play top five, top eight, top ten defense, if not be in the top three or four. They have got playmakers all over the place. So let's just wait and see. I'm not that pessimistic about this. As a matter of fact, I think there are some very, very motivated people on this football team. And once we get into the regular season, they actually start playing games and we're not just looking at it on paper. You know how things can change because there will be people who shrink on teams that supposedly right now are supposed to be favorites, and there are going to be people who surprise on teams right now who weren't supposed to do anything. And the Bears, I think, are going to be one of those teams.
Lewis, before we elaborate more on the offense, you mentioned the defense. I wanted to get your opinion on the addition of Robert Quinn and how that will help the entire front seven and just how vicious that group could be, especially early in a season when a defense has a little bit of an edge or an offense.
Robert Quinn is one of those guys who, when he comes around the corner, he's about 2 feet off the ground. And he's running about 4 or 5, and he can turn and flatten the corner and wreck your quarterback's dreams in a hurry. He has got get off. He's got flexibility. He's got speed. He can go speed to power. He's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous compliment to Khalil. I mean, are you kidding me? Those two together, and then now, of course, you know, look, Akeem Hicks. Is there anyone in the NFL in terms of mainstream coverage who gets less praise and less? And, you know, just good words heaped on them than Akeem Hicks. They're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Tommy, you know, they are going to be just fine on defense. They've got playmakers there. They've got playmakers at linebacker. They got playmakers in the secondary. Okay, they've got them all over the football field, and this team is ticked off because they hear it too. No, people don't have a whole lot to do right now besides sit there and refresh Twitter and Instagram and watch TV. That's all people are doing. So the players are doing the same thing, man. You haven't seen guys this active on social media in forever. They're hearing all this crap. They're hearing all this. And you know what? If things line up right, we play this whole season. Look, the Bears are going to smack some people around. They will. They'll be there.
How about on offense? I mean, this may be a little bit drastic, but is there any chance, because things have been so condensed and there's been nobody's connected, coaches and players, that they just decide to use the offense that Nick Foles is most comfortable with and the terminology, because he's worked with Lazor, he's worked with everybody else that they've added on that staff, and pretty much from day one come to the conclusion Nick's our guy and try to build things around him from the jump?
Do you think that it wasn't very much so calculated
and
well thought out as to why they signed this guy? I mean, Tom, you know that. You know that's why they went after him. You know that they knew that this offseason was going to be one where there wasn't going to be a lot of one-on-one contact. There wasn't going to be the normal opportunities to teach and build chemistry. You need guys who are familiar with what you do and hit the ground running as soon as they get the green light to start practicing again. I don't think there's – I would be shocked. I'll be shocked if he is not – when they start playing games for real – the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears, that being Nick Foles. And I'll tell you this, I'll also be shocked if him and Allen Robinson don't have an instant connection right out the gate, and that Allen has one of the best seasons of his career, because he's going to get targeted and targeted some more and targeted some more and targeted some more. Do you remember who Nick Foles' favorite target was when he was in Philadelphia when they made that Super Bowl run?
Alshon?
That's right. Same, not the same player, same body type, big catch radius, a guy who can win the 50-50 balls, a guy who, look, Allen's a much better route runner than Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
Allen's a better player. He is going to light it up. This football team, it's very, look, there's no question they don't have the track team that some of the other high-powered offenses in the league do. I mean, we all can see that. But they are going to be a very resourceful, much more physical running football team this year, and that's going to start with Juan Castillo. And Matt and him work together. I was with them both when they were in Philadelphia. They made a lot of smart moves as far as trying to correct the things that they didn't do well last year by bringing certain people in here who kind of have familiarity with one another, both on the coaching staff and then targeted players. The Bears are going to be just fine. They made a lot of good moves. Maybe not the flashiest move, but they made a lot of good, solid, foundational moves to kind of get them pointed in the right direction again, especially on offense.
Lewis, I'm a big buy low guy, and I've always just wondered, even with this offseason, not being able to get your hands on a player or to be able to get the reps in person, did the Bears screw up an opportunity to buy very low on Cam Newton?
Well, I mean, right now, if you just look at all Cam's hype videos and all the coverage he's getting, I mean, you would think he's going to come out and come the regular season, he's going to throw for 500 yards and run for 300 yards every week because everyone's kind of buying into it because he's ticked off, and rightfully so. He's a guy who has a tremendous amount of pride. And right now, again, when you have nothing to do but watch workout videos and hear people talk, he right now seems like somebody that, like, if you'd never seen Cam play before, you'd be like, this guy's unstoppable. You would think he holds every record in the history of the NFL at quarterback. Maybe he does look that way when the regular season starts. But remember, he's going into an offense that he has no familiarity with at all. So Josh is going to have to really construct things in a way to get him up to speed and get him comfortable in a hurry, which kind of puts them outside of their normal comfort zone, although New England does things, you know, very non-traditionally anyway as far as being able to adapt and be a hybrid of what they normally do at a moment's notice. So maybe it works for them. I don't know. I don't know. But for Chicago, look, they are going to be able to hit the ground running with Nick Foles right off the bat. So they're going to be ahead of the curve. Every coach talks about it. Every coach talks about familiarity and having a previous working relationship with someone was the key to making smart transactions this offseason. And every team did it. You saw it happen across the board throughout the league, that people were targeting guys that they had histories with and who they could hit the ground running with once they got the green light. Chicago was smart doing what they did. Obviously, it's going to be scrutinized up and down when the regular season starts. Did Chicago mess up by not signing Cam Newton? And was Nick Foles a mistake? And it's going to make everything very, very interesting. So we'll see.
Big picture, Lewis. Do you think that the NFL will push things back because they have that luxury and maybe use time to their advantage? And do you think they should?
Do I think they will? Yeah, I think ultimately they will, and I think they should. And I think they will because they should. That makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're up against it right now, Tommy. I mean, there were teams that were supposed to, you know, there were supposed to be some rookies that were reporting this week, this weekend. I mean, I think in Kansas City. That's impossible. Right. They don't even have a schedule put together about what their practices are going to look like and when. I've talked to coaches who haven't even done that because they have no base from which to build a training camp schedule because they don't have enough answers. They have more questions than answers across the board about how this is all going to look. And so since they have the luxury of time, they're probably going to take it because without it, if they don't do it, exactly. Yeah. If they don't do it, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, I mean, that's what. How far can they back it up, Lewis? I mean, we've talked that they could, like, in my opinion, why not play a Super Bowl at the beginning of March if you have to? What's the big deal?
Sure. Like, if you pushed it back a month, the start of the season a month, I don't see where that is something that totally just, you know, ruins the credibility of the league or lessens the, you know, the level of play or somehow cast some kind of dark shadow over. I don't think it does that at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, I don't want to speak for the NFL's PR machine, but as a matter of fact, it may even cast them in a more positive light because they see the bigger picture, which is we're up against it in so many ways from a society perspective right now that for you to just kind of go full speed ahead and just throw caution to the wind, I mean, you're just going to get drugged in the media in a negative way if you start doing those kinds of things, and maybe rightfully so. So, If they need more time, just take it. Because it just sounds like to me, from the people I talk to, that they need more time. The individual clubs and the people who are in charge of trying to put this together, these guys sound just like they're getting no sleep. And they're trying to figure out how to organize eating schedules within their respective buildings to kind of keep certain people away from the players and coaches because they're in one tier. Scouts and support staff are in another tier. You know, business and finance and marketing are in another tier, so they have to section off areas of the building. You know, you have to get your food delivered like it is in the bubble down, you know, in Orlando for the NBA players. They set it outside your door. You open the door, you grab it real quick, and you close it back again. You're eating in your office. I mean, it's just like this is what teams are having to come up with. They're having to come up with these kind of procedures. I mean, can you imagine spending all your time right now trying to figure out how to do that? That's what they're faced with.
Collectively, from some of the players that you may have spoken to, are guys apprehensive about this, or are they all gung-ho, let's go play, this is what I do?
You know, Tommy, that's the hard part. That's what's making this so difficult. You have players who right now would go out there and probably play with no testing, because they're just like, you know what? I'm a football player, and I'm going to play the game that I love, period. And I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. And then there's players who are like, want to know from A to Z exactly what the risks are, what the testing schedule is going to be, how you're going to clean the facility, how you're going to protect me, what's the equipment we're going to wear, all of that stuff. What's going to be the protocols within the building, not just for the players, but for, you know, all the other support people that I was just talking about. So you have that entire range of people, right? How do you make it so you more or less appease everybody? You more or less, you don't want to stifle the people who want to play because they want to play and they're willing to take the risk. And at the same time, you cannot and you will not ever be disrespectful to the people who are, and rightfully so, looking out for their health and their family's health and their loved one's health. So you're trying to satisfy all that. Why do you think this is taking so long?
Right.
Because these guys have questions, man. And so, and they need to provide answers, because if you don't have answers, you can't do it.
Lewis, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Stay safe, okay?
Thanks, Lewis.
You got it, my man. Take care. All right.
There he is, Lewis Riddick. Good stuff on the Bears. Good stuff on one of the few national guys who's projecting Nick Foles. Most of the national guys that we talk to think it's still going to be Mitch. McCown said it yesterday.
Yeah.
But then the
longer we talk to Josh, he could consent to a situation where, you know, training camp practice will be more advantageous for Nick Foles than it will be for Mitch because of the style that they play.
I also think I brought up with Carm, we played the Josh McCown. I think Josh, as he, like, his initial, his initial reaction was, oh, of course the incumbent has the huge advantage in this scenario. And then he started talking it out, being like, but Nick Foles always assimilates himself quickly.
I'm telling you, real quick, I know we have to go to break. I wouldn't be shocked if right now the coaches are sitting together going, guys, I don't know how this is going to go. We're going to have very little time. Nick's our guy, and this is what we do because we've worked with Nick, and he's familiar with all this. I may be 100% wrong, but I would not.
I want to bring something up, though, about that, that something does go against that internally, and I want to bring that up. If you're angry about Marquee, are you worried? Are you going to change? Someone has told me to just go to Hulu, 312-332-3776. What if it's not ready to go on opening day in the middle of a pandemic and you can't watch when sports returns? 332-3776. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Just want to tie up our Bears conversation that we had with Lewis. I agree with you, Waddle. I think you were on that from the beginning once they made the fourth-round trade with Jacksonville to get their quarterback. And every position coach on offense has basically worked with Nick Foles. But here's my question. All the videos I keep seeing online, the players are working out with Mitch. Does that mean anything?
No.
Does it?
That means that Mitch is here in town and he's familiar with them.
So they're just looking to get some work in.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of, I don't want to say this because I don't mean this about, there's plenty of workout dorks. That doesn't mean, like, and it's great, but it doesn't mean that when it's, you know what, cutting time and money's on the table, that it's just going to be because these guys all worked out together in the summer that that's going to be the case.
Are you saying that Mitch is a hustle?
No. I said a work. You know, like, do you know every, you put on the, come on, we're going to work. When we're done working, we're going to work again. And I'm a fan of hard work. I'm just saying, you know.
They're the 28th ranked weaponry. Like, it's not like any of these guys have any pull anyway. Like, only Allen Robinson really matters amongst the skill players they have
there. Tariq Cohen's a decent role. Tariq Cohen is a good role guy.
That's fine, but he's not dictating policy.
No, I know that.
If Nick Foles had a workout, whose workout would they go to if they had him competing at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, where I don't know.
Like, I think Nick Foles is too nice a guy to pull that, but if he wanted to, I would be intrigued to see who went where.
Well, I think they'd all work out together. I think they would all get together. I mean, I don't know where Nick Foles is. Maybe Nick Foles isn't even in Chicago. I mean, look, I'm not totally dismissing working out with the guys. You're not going to be named starting quarterback based on your workouts in July with guys in non-team-related issues. You're just not.
We know he can rip it in practice, right? I mean, as we were talking about Josh thinking about this, talking it through, as I'm talking it through. Mitch's problem has never been practice.
Well, not just that, but on air. Like, look, I'm sure he's out there and the ball's spinning and it's quick. Is somebody rushing the passer? Are they playing, is there a skeleton defense there?
Safety help over the top.
Right. Is he having to process things?
Yeah, Mitch has great measurables. Like, he can run, he can throw.
Right.
He's got a lot. But then when it's
all live.
Yeah.
So that's my point. So, like, the workout stuff that you're seeing on tape now, that's never an issue. It's when it all becomes live and there's guys rushing the passer. There's defenses disguising coverages. And you have to process it all at the same time. And unless they've got a full defense out there with them working out, it's just throwing routes on air, which is useful, but it's not the end-all be-all.
All right. I want to get to the conversation about Marquis. And did Theo make us a promise? Or was he just – I mean, I don't think Theo ever says anything without thinking about it. So I want to play you something. And did he basically make us a promise about watching the Cubs if you're a Comcast subscriber? 312-332-3776. And there's a member of Chicago baseball who made the All-MLB TV team. I'll tell you about that coming up in 2 short minutes.